Turn to our first reading in Psalms 120 and 121. Yeah, I believe we finished well, that, you know what? That's a good question.
The morning only shows 119, 161.
Yes, it does. And I believe that's correct. We did not finish Psalm 119 last week. So we will finish the last two selections of Psalm 119. Thanks for that correction. I appreciate it. All right, Psalm 119 then. We'll begin our reading in verse 161. And notice the Hebrew letter that governs this section is what we call Shin. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee, because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. And then the last section, Tau. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so in the beginning here, notice we have a statement of persecution. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Now, most of you know that the Hebrew conjunction there could be translated and or but. It's really a contextual matter. And so what I think the psalmist is telling us here is that even though he has been persecuted without cause, and that would be for his obedience, in other words, that his heart continues to stand in awe of the word of the Lord, so that he rejoices, verse 162, as one that finds great spoil. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Children, the word spoil, we don't really know what that means. With regard to, you know, maybe there's something that's been in the fridge for a while. Every now and then we may pull out of the fridge what we would call a bearded tomato. You know what that means, right? It's had some stuff growing on it. That would be a tomato that has been spoiled. Okay, well, that's not how the psalmist is using the word spoil here. When one army would move into another country and conquer it, all of the riches of that country that was conquered would become the spoils of the conquering army. That's the way he's using the term spoil here. So a nation then, and here's how those two usages are related. A nation, a people, a family, a business, any entity can be spoiled of its goods. It can be taken away from it, right? And so notice what the psalmist writes here. I rejoice as one that finds great spoil. Maybe you've been out walking on a hike and you've looked down and you've seen some little thing there that caught your eye, and you do a little bit of digging around it. You pull it up and it's a beautiful little fossil. Maybe it's a wonderful colored stone. It's something that you found that was a surprise benefit, a piece of spoil, if you will. And so notice that the psalmist writes here that the word of God is like that for him. The word of God is like finding something sweet and special and unexpected. Have you ever been doing that, children? Have you ever been reading along in God's word and you've seen something or understood something that you didn't catch before, and it's pleasantly surprising, wonderfully comforting? This is how the psalmist views the word of God. All through these last couple of sections, we've heard about his love for God's word, his appreciation for it. Now here he calls it great spoil. And spoil is, it adds with it that just that little bit, just that little touch of something that is surprisingly pleasing. It's something that while we came to God's word and we knew that it was a light and a lamp and all of those other things, still we can never exhaust the word of God such that we should expect to find something unexpected, something very pleasant when we come to God's word, some new comfort, some new bit of instruction. And oh, what a wonder it is that God condescends to us and grants us instruction in his word. So, as one that finds great spoil. All right, so now we're going to put a couple of things on opposite ends of the stick. Right? We're going to make an antithesis. That's what we call it. I hate and abhor lying, but I love thy law. Okay, so mostly related to the third and the ninth commandments, right? I hate and abhor lying. Remember who the liar is from the beginning. John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that Satan was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. When we tell lies, O children, O parents, O adults, O everybody in between, we behave ourselves more like the children of the devil than the children of God. The children of God love the truth. They speak the truth. They tell the truth. Perhaps not all the truth. Not everybody at all times is deserving of hearing everything. And some stories are simply not ours to tell, even though they're true. And so we can violate the ninth commandment, can't we, by telling the truth sometimes when those stories are not ours to tell. And that would not be the kind of truth that the psalmist is talking about here. It's actually a violation of the ninth commandment to tell stories we shouldn't be telling, even though they're true. I mean, what's the excuse of the gossip? What does he say? I'm only telling the truth, right? But it's not yours to tell sometimes. And so we must learn in this meditation on verse 163, we must learn to be discreet in how we speak and keep things that are private or that ought to be private, private, and protect the reputation of others and not speak evil of them. And all of that is wound up under that package, I hate and abhor lying. Right? It's not just telling an untruth. It's speaking the truth unseasonably or to a wicked end. That's how the larger catechism puts it. All right, so then 164, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. And I think we would all agree here that the psalmist is not saying that he has this habit. He's got a timer and it goes off seven times each day. Seven is the number of perfection or fullness. And so one thing that we can say truly is that he has a practice of a full amount of daily praise. A full amount of daily praise. And what an example that is to us. Now, We don't want that praise to be empty, do we? We don't want that praise simply to be a habit that we've developed just because we think we need to. We want that praise to be full and true, so that those praises that come forth from our mouths are what we would call sincere and upright and heartfelt. And so, what do? Then we meditate upon God's goodness, and those praises will flow, right? We begin with the heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew chapter 15. Then we move on a little bit more, a little bit farther. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. May I say, the greater the love, devotion, and faith toward the word and commandments of God, the more inoculated you will be when it comes to offense. If you find yourself offended, and we've all been there, remember that when we find ourselves offended, we've gotten our minds skewed off of where they ought to be. If we are focusing upon the word of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, that which belongs to those who love the law of God, the psalmist writes that they will have great peace that do such things, and nothing shall offend them. And so while there may be some guilt on the part of the one who offended us, there will also be some guilt on the part of we who have allowed ourselves to become offended also. Remember what David said in Psalm 51. He said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." And we, as we've said before, Joab might disagree with that. Uriah might disagree with that. Bathsheba might disagree with that. But what David has done is he's put his offense in its proper perspective, because it is first and foremost against God. Every sin is first and foremost against the Lord, because there the offense is an infinite one. Right? And so, again, we marvel over the grace of God that, being infinitely offended, he still maintains an infinite mercy to those who are in Christ. All right, so then 106, 107, very closely related. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Then I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. This understanding that the psalmist sets forth at the end there, that all of his ways are open before the Lord, this is a remedy, a help to him with regard to his obedience. He has a great desire toward obedience. He loves the commandments of God, he said. Children, let me ask you a question. If your mom and dad, mom or dad, or mom and dad, ask you, son, daughter, I'd like you to go out into the garage and straighten up these shelves. We'll give you some chore to do. Okay? Or look at all the toys and the trash in the backyard. Let's get all that picked up. Okay? Tell me this. Do you do better if your parents are watching, or better if your parents are not watching? One parent said to another one day, "You know, I find that my children do more what I inspect rather than what I expect." Right? Notice what the psalmist says here. He says, "I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, because all my ways are before thee." He keeps in mind that God is always watching over him, and that's a help to him for his obedience. Just like it would be a help for you, children, if you knew that your parents were watching you out the kitchen window when you're picking up the backyard, rather than being sent out four or five times to finish the job, right? Okay, very good. So let's move on then to the second portion. We'll see if we can be a little bit more brief here. Notice that the psalmist cries out here for understanding according to the word of God. There are a few things here that are supposed to be according to the word. First of all, his understanding and his deliverance. So with regard to his understanding, he prays for an understanding according to the word of God, that his mind would be shaped by Scripture. This should be all of our prayers, that our minds would be shaped by Scripture, not by the world around us, not by the news, not by our own desires, not by our own preferences and comforts and all of those things, but that our minds should be shaped by Scripture, that we would learn to think, as one theologian said it, God's thoughts after him. Secondly, notice there's another according to thy word. Deliver me according to thy word. And here then, notice that God's word is not all commandments, but that our minds will also be shaped, according to verse 170, on God's promises. God has promised to deliver. And so if we're thinking scripturally, we're also going to have great confidence in God's deliverance of his people. That when we call upon him, he will hear, he will answer, and he will do according to his mercy and grace. All right, the other thing here in verse 171 is that there is praise that rises up out of our mouths, out of our hearts, when we are taught the statutes of God. This is the love that we ought to have for God's statutes and judgments and so on. And then, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. The implication there is that he's going to praise God for his commandments, because they're all righteous. Let thy hand help me. And if we can couple that with the last verse, I've gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servant. And so these last few verses here speak about our great need, our need for the hand of the Lord to guide us, to protect us, to draw us back to himself, to give us life. And all of that must take place according to the word of God. There is no other way. And so as we close out our reading of Psalm 119, we remember from the beginning of our study that there are only three verses out of 176 verses in 119 that don't have some direct reference to God's word, statutes, judgments, precepts, testimonies, etc. That this is the psalm that is all about extolling the virtues and the great utility of God's word, especially as expressed in his commandments, his gospel, his promises, his mercy. And so when we read through and sing through Psalm 119, this psalm is given for the people of God, that it may raise up our affection for God and his word. And then the other thing that we learned that will summarize here also is that the Psalter is written with a plan. It's written with a plan. It's not just haphazard, something being, you know, cobbled together. No, when Ezra, and I believe it was Ezra, put it in its final form after the exile, he put it together with some markers to show us that there was a plan and a purpose in the Spirit of God causing his prophet to put it together in the way that he did. Now, this comes to us very clearly in Psalm 119 in that there are 22 sections, one for each of the Hebrew alphabet, and the first verse of every one of those sections begins with that letter. It's meant to be sung. It's meant to be memorized. It's meant to be used. The Psalter is for all of God's people in all ages. We're going to see also in our study of the Songs of Degrees, which we begin, Lord willing, this afternoon, that there is also a plan and a purpose in those. So let us then wring out, right? Take like that wet cloth and wring out all the good spiritual juice, if you will, out of Psalm 119. It is one of those choice pieces of Scripture. If the Psalter is a little Bible, the Psalms generally, and it is, then Psalm 119 is itself a little Psalter. Right? Okay, well, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.